We're back with the Welcome Center with EA Radio Live. I'm Fareed Guillaume. But right now we're going to continue our conversation with aerobatic legend Sean D. Tucker. And like I said, he's got one cup of coffee left, so we're going to try to get some more questions out of him. You talked about your new airplane design, and it's influenced by model airplanes, especially the tail, right? Why don't you expound on that a little bit?
Well, you know, the design is a collaboration of trying to make the biplane as nimble and as maneuverable as these new monoplanes. I love biplanes. I love the romance of biplanes. I think biplanes make a statement. When somebody sees a biplane flying in the sky, they expect it to be at an air show. I like the safety of a biplane. I think a safety biplanes, you know, the top wings, the roll bar. I love fabric, but all the biplanes reached a certain performance level, and I wanted more. And so over the years, I've worked with Steve on pushing that envelope. He made me a set of wings with 8 ailerons. Then I worked with a gentleman named Ed Sauerman on a 3D tail, and Steve took it to the next level and made it very efficient and very controllable. You know, these model airplane guys have what they call, because they're flying with their fingers, and they needed more stability, so they had a computer chip put in so they could, it was easier to control these tails. Well, we don't have that. You know, we have touch. We have our senses to fly these machines, and so Steve was able to build a flying tail, a flying 3D tail, that an actual human can really do it.
Well, that is pretty interesting and innovative. What is involved with choreographing one of your routines?
Choreographing an air show routine is, it is a journey. It's a journey, number one, of facing your fears, a journey of expressing yourself, a journey of not abusing a privilege, like taking unnecessary risks. And it really takes a lifetime. I mean, you just don't learn a routine overnight. There's a young kid who's going to fly. His name is Kevin Coleman. This Thursday, he's 20 years old. His brother was one of my stars of tomorrow. Kevin was going to be on a Stars of Tomorrow this year, but it kind of fell apart due to some circumstances. But Kevin's still been traveling with me this year. He's a 20-year-old kid on a... He goes to Louisiana Tech. You guys watch him fly. And he's been training with me for years and years. He's been very fortunate. His family's very supportive. And so he built his routine, and I was his ace this spring. And he's been practicing as much as I have, traveling all on the road, and he's flown some significant events. Well, now he's going to fly Oshkosh. Joe Schumacher invited him to fly Thursday. And he says, what should I do? What should I do? I said, you've been on this journey. Do not change anything, because because Oshkosh changes your life when you perform here. I mean, because we're all here for the same reasons, is that we resonate with this metaphor called flight. And Kevin's going to walk out of that cockpit, and he'll never forget it as long as he lives, even if he retires from aerobatic flying the next day. But you can't change anything until you learn how to fly these figures hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times, pulling millions and millions of positive G's and millions of negative G's, because we're just, you know, it's not simple. You know, if you're really trying to do something compelling and really be the best aviator you can be, it takes a lifetime to put a choreograph a sequence together, and you got to do it within the capabilities of your aircraft. You got to do it within the capabilities of your own technical skills. You got to do it within the limitations of safety. So, but believe me, when it all comes together and you have a great flight, it's the greatest experience on earth. I just am as in love with it today as when I first flew my first air show in 1976. I mean, I really feel honored and privileged that I get to have the ability and the opportunity to do this for this many years.
You talked about flying 9 G's. You wanted to pull those 9 G's, but you just can't pull 9 G's. You got to work your way up to it. And aerobatic pilots talk about being in shape for pulling G's. What is your physical routine to prepare your body for the type of flying that you do?
Well, the best thing you can do as an air show performer, especially on the level that we fly at, is you got to fly. And it takes me, when I'm off in the wintertime, to let my body heal, because it does get injured, as you can see by my wrist brace. It takes me about 3 months to really let everything heal, but I see a chiropractor, I have a personal trainer, I exercise all the time. I only did 30 minutes on the step machine yesterday, but I'm going to do an hour and a half with weights this afternoon. And I really physically got to, that helps me prepare for it, but you got to fly. And it's 30 to 60 flights before I get done being nauseous after I've had the winter off. It's 30 to 60 flights before I'm even up to 9 positive G's and 6-7 negative G's. You got to take baby steps, because your body has to acclimate to it too. But if you're physically not ready, if you're physically not capable, your body's going to break down a lot sooner. So you got to do both. You got to fly a lot, and you have to be physically fit.
So you got a wounded hand there. How's your golf game then?
My golf game sucks. With a wounded hand or no wounded hand. I hate it. That Mike Gullion, that little Mike Gullion, he's incredible on the golf course. I hate Mike Gullion on the golf course. And he doesn't ever give me enough strokes, you know? I mean, I am probably the most pathetic looking. I should be on the Golf Channel and try to get fixed, but I'd be too embarrassed for the world to see how bad I am. And I love the game.
So you're not going to do the Golf Classic this year,
though? Of course I am. Right. Of course I am. I'm not too proud. Nobody's watching.
With that Mike Gullion.
Hey, oh, Mike, don't even mention that again. I guarantee you he will beat me tomorrow. Even if he gives me 10 strokes, he's still going to beat me. He always finds the way. And he always cons me in. We're going to go play Pebble this fall, and he cons me into spending big dollars. He stays at my house, and he always takes well, he's from Boston, no wonder.
You were part of collaborators for a while, and that also included your son. That was it was a very unique aerobatic act. How do you get all those high-powered folks to fly together?
That was really a lot of fun. We're not doing the collaborators this year. We were supposed to do a movie project. That kind of, they call it in Hollywood, the hit the pause button, and we had booked the whole summer to do this project, and so I didn't book any shows, and Eric had to go get a real job, which is my son, and he's flying King Airs now, but Bill's still flying shows, and Ben Freelove, who was my right wingman, is on his way to the advanced, he teaches at the school, and he's on his way to the advanced world championships, and so everybody's kind of moved on. Hopefully we can put it back together. I'll tell you, being a formation lead with very talented people was an incredible experience for me. I mean, these guys were just great. And having your son on the wing when I wasn't worried about him was a lot of fun, you know? And, I mean, we that was really, you know, we got to fly here at Oshkosh a couple years in a row. And hopefully we get to do it again, because I really love that journey.
And you are one of the only people that has been able to fly close formation with both the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels. How did you earn that? How did you get that kind of trust?
Well, you know, life is about trust. You know, final lead on a formation team is about trust. Flying with anybody is about trust. And you know, I've been in the business a long time, and the Blues trust me. And I trust them. These, you know, the men and women in the military, number one, are the greatest men and women that we got. They're our kids, you know, doing some really serious work. And these kids are as passionate as us about flight. And they have just as much fun flying with me as I do with them. And they're just great, great human beings.
Well, talk a little bit about your academy and learning aerobatics and why you started it.
Well, we have the Tukema Academy of Aviation Safety, 13 years now. We teach only aerobatics. We teach upset training. And I just love this place. This place, they come from all over the world. We're not a big deal. I only have 2 full-time instructors and 2 part-time instructors, but they're all air show pilots. They're all aerobatic competition pilots. And they're all, most importantly, consider it a privilege to teach aerobatics, and they're in love with the art form called aerobatic flight. And, you know, I go there, and I get to be, you know, it's my school and everything. And they're so much better instructors than me. I've learned so much from them. And the people who leave that place leave with a high level of confidence that they can get out of any maneuver in any airplane. And they leave inspired because it's a week of training that you live there and you fly every day. It's like going to camp and you just... It's, you know, 24/7, it's about flying aerobatics.
We're talking with aerobatic legend Sean D. Tucker here on EAA Radio. And let's go through the maneuvers that are only 1G. The aerobatic maneuvers that are 1G. Are there any?
How boring.
Yeah. It does sound boring, but...
Once you turn, I just was thinking, can I actually do a 1G half roll to 1G? I think I have to go, I don't know if I could am good enough to do that. Because that's one negative being inverted. But you have to get, I don't know if I could do a 1G. I'll have to work on that. I'll work on that tomorrow. So, well, you can fly upside down. That's 1G, negative.
What about a loop?
You can't do a 1G loop. You got to
do a loop,
1G
loop? Okay.
It's impossible. We're in 1G.
What about a spin?
I don't think you can get into a spin 1G. Is a spin 1G? I think it's a zero.
Do you walk around at least 2 Gs or more every day? They're always two times close gravity?
Yeah, I just don't. First of all, that's way too boring. Let's talk about a 8G centrifuge, negative. At 250 miles an hour, taking the energy out, pulling the wing over to the side, giving a little right, a little forward stick, let it arc through the sky. Now I'll go to 1G for a second over the arc, and then we're going to come back down and pick it up again. That's fun.
That's right. There's variations on a theme, folks.
I don't like boring.
So talk about that maneuver that you've been chasing that you haven't quite captured.
I think it's... the airplane I'm chasing, you know, and every time, what's very cool about the job is I practice 3 times a day. The first 2 flights are about working those figures for that air show. And then the 3rd flight is the fun flight. And I get up there and I just try different combinations of whatever I can imagine to see what happens. And that is how you learn to fly a new figure on this level of flying.
Well, we thank you very much for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you out here up in the air. The aerobatic legend, Sean D. Tucker, everyone.